In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. You have led in your steadfast love the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them by your strength to your holy abode. You will bring them in and plant them on your own mountain, the place, O Lord, which you have made for your abode, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord will reign forever and ever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord be with you, and let us pray. Almighty God, the Father, through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, you have overcome death and opened the gate of everlasting life to us. Grant that we who celebrate with joy the day of our Lord's resurrection may be raised from the death of sin by your life-giving Spirit. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our first reading for Easter is from Isaiah chapter 25. On this mountain the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all people, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, Behold, this is our God, we have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord, we have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Christ has risen from the dead. God the Father has raised him with glory and honor. He has given him dominion over the works of his hands. He has put all things under his feet. An epistle from 1 Corinthians 15. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me, for I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel for this Easter celebration is from Mark's account, the 16th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome bought spices so that he might go and anoint him. And very early, on that first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? and looking up they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who is crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now for a sermon entitled Reliable Witnesses. It is based upon the Gospel reading from Mark 16. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our resurrected Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. There is no doubt many out there who are enjoying this Easter holy day in their own way are doing so with egg hunts, chocolate bunnies, and family dinners. But they have no desire to start the day as we are, immersed in Easter worship, celebrating the resurrection of Christ. Many might think us delusional for believing that a dead man came back to life. However, unlike we who believe it, those who do not have some explaining to do. If Jesus didn't come back to life again, how could there have been more than 500 people who saw him over 40 days? How might he have survived a Roman crucifixion? How could documents like the Gospel accounts have been written, circulated, and believed? How could have the apostles then taken the message of Christ's resurrection and turned the world upside down? Believe it or not, some will want to tell us that Jesus never existed. His whole life, they say, is a myth. Now, for one to take that position, he would have to say that nobody in history existed, and everything we know about anybody has been made up by someone else for their personal gain. That's ridiculous. However, most will concede that there was a historical person that once lived whose name was Jesus, and that he was a popular teacher who gained a following. However, anything about him being God, performing miracles, and rising from the dead, well, they say those parts were later fabricated. They say that Jesus' disciples wanted to keep the Jesus revolution alive, and so they concocted accounts of how he rose again from the dead on Easter. There are a number of things, though, that show that pulling off a hoax like Christianity upon the world would be impossible, including the account of the resurrection. For example, no one survived a Roman crucifixion. The soldiers ensured the death of their victims, hence the spear they lanced in Jesus' side. Some might concede his death, but then say his disciples stole his body away. But that too was impossible, for the tomb was sealed and a guard was set. The guards were later paid off to say that they had fallen asleep, but there's no way they would have, for if they had, they would never admit to it on pains of death. And something else that goes against the skeptics' argument that the story of Jesus' resurrection was fabricated by the disciples in order to deceive is the fact of who, we are told, first came to the tomb to find it empty. It was the women. Today we listen to St. Mark's account of Easter. He began by reporting, When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. There were other women also present, but here these three are mentioned. Their desire was to honor Jesus in his death, hence the anointing spices which they brought. They went as soon as custom would permit, once the Sabbath was over. It says, and very early, on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. Though it may have been a dreadful thing to do, it was something that they were keen to get on with in their deep devotion to Jesus. However, they had not thought this through. It wasn't until they were on their way that they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb?" This would be no small feat. The tomb could easily be closed, as the round stone would roll down a channel. However, to open it, it would have to be rolled up. It would take more strength than even they together could muster. In addition, they seem unaware that guards had been posted and the tomb sealed. And so if all had been as planned, the guards would have simply turned the women back once they arrived. But all was not as it was supposed to be, for we are told, looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. No stone blockage, no guards, no problem. So it seemed, and so the women entered the tomb. They were brave and bold, ready to get on with their act of devotion to their rabbi's body. However, after entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. It was an angel of the Lord. He spoke to them, saying, "Do not be afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who is crucified. He is risen. He is not here." The angel even invited them to take a look around the tomb, pointing to the slab upon which his burial shroud remained, saying, "See the place where they laid him? Why was there no body? It is because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia." It was not that he had survived the crucifixion and walked out. It was not because the disciples unsealed the tomb, rolled the stone away, and then snuck his body out, and all this while the guards slept. No, the only way the tomb could be empty, which it was, is because what the angel told the women was true. The one who was crucified has risen. The angel then instructed the women, "Go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him just as he told you." It would become their duty to inform the disciples, especially Peter, what had happened, and that they would soon see Jesus alive for themselves. Mark relates how the women were at first stunned. He tells us how they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. They said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. That at least was their first reaction, and who can blame them? For that matter, who would believe them? A piece of solid evidence that reveals that this story is fact and not fiction is that if it was fiction, it would never, ever, ever present it as fact, that it was women who were the first eyewitnesses to these events. Unfortunately for women of that time, their words carried a lot less weight than those of men. In any testimony, it would take the words of two women to equal that of one man. Skeptics could easily take anything they said as idle tales. Believe it or not, at that time this included the disciples. It is St. Luke who reports that after the women took courage and told the disciples how they did not believe the women, because these words seemed to them an idle tale. Fortunately, Peter and John were at least willing to check their claim for themselves, John arriving at the garden tomb first, but the two entering together. Therefore, one of many proofs that the resurrection happened as reported is that the report credits the women as the first of Jesus' followers to learn of it. The only reason it is recorded as we have it is because this is how it happened. We can know that their testimony is true, even by their initial fear of having to report it. And friends, since Jesus rose again from the dead, this has a lot of wonderful implications for you and for me. It means that Jesus really is who he claimed to be. It means that all his words are true, and all his promises will come to pass. And it means that all who die trusting in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus will themselves rise again from the dead. This is possible, for as Jesus' resurrection further reveals, God the Father accepted the sacrifice of his Son for the forgiveness of our sins. Our fallen condition is such that we could never atone for our sins, our own sins. No works of ours could avert our doom of death and hell. However, Jesus, in love, came to us, sent by the Father, to suffer death and hell in our stead. Jesus suffered death and hell when the Father turned away from him, causing Jesus to cry out with a loud voice from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus died after he uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. Hebrews 9:28 speaks of how Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many, and that he will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. The evidence for the resurrection of Christ is solider than the rock that once sealed Jesus' borrowed tomb. It was a good thing that he only borrowed it, for Jesus did not need it for very long. One of the things Jesus made clear after he appeared to the disciples is recorded in Mark 6:16, that whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Believe and be saved. Be baptized, and thereby united to both Christ's death and resurrection, to even now walk in newness of life. How good it is to celebrate Easter for what truly happened. What happened is that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. This was made known as he first appeared to the women. Praise these faithful and most reliable eyewitnesses of Jesus' resurrection. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen. And now let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, you kept your promise and you delivered up your own Son to be our Savior. By his sacrificial death, our sins are forgiven. And by his rising again, we have the hope of everlasting life. Keep us in this holy joy throughout the Easter season and all our daily lives, that we may not fear our enemies nor give in to temptation of despair in days of trouble. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Be with our Synod President, our Regional Pastor, and all pastors of our Synod. Keep them faithful to deliver to your people the apostolic gospel of your Son's death, burial, and resurrection. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us hold fast to the word preached to us, that receiving it with joy we may take our stand in it and be saved by it. Hinder all who would sow doubt into our hearts, and grant us courage to confess its truth in our life and conversation. Turn the hearts of skeptics towards the truth of the resurrection and all which it means. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Bless all who make and administer our laws. Frustrate the forces of evil and do not let our leaders cooperate with them or further their goals. Guard our armed forces as they stand watch for us at home and abroad. Let them serve with honor and integrity. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And have mercy on the sick and those in any need. Let the dawning light of a new creation in Christ sustain them in faith according to your will. Grant them renewed health, a foretaste of their eternal healing in him. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Give us joy in your Son's great victory feast as he shares it with us from our altar whenever we partake of his body and blood. Overcome our sin by his forgiveness. Swallow up our death in his life, that we may be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We praise your holy name, O Lord, for all your servants who have departed this life in faith. We pray that you will not abandon us to Sheol, but that when we awaken in the resurrection of all flesh, your presence will give us joy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We join today in singing eternal alleluias with innumerable angels and festal gathering, with the assembly of the firstborn enrolled in heaven, and with the spirits of the righteous made perfect. And we bring these petitions before you, dear Father, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.